gotta gather all my stuff up here. So I'm accumulating as the moments go by. It's funny that you mentioned going down the road to the house church movement and all that kind of stuff. You know, the purpose of liturgy and the sacrament and all that kind of stuff is to keep people like me and you from getting too crazy. Because let me tell you, when God captures your heart and begins to reveal himself to you, you'll get kind of crazy. Now, I just want to tell you this morning that I'm crazy. This is like, I can't believe this. Like, I've got to ask the question. Did you like pick this thing because I was coming, this deal?
No, actually I didn't. Tomorrow is his feast day in the calendar.
If you read this thing on the front, this is a guy, just read it. It's I started reading, I was going like, oh wow, this guy's from Uganda. And then I read a little bit, finally I go, oh wow. You know, he was the served in the diocese where I've been in Uganda, Mbale. How cool is that? How cool is that? You know, particularly when you have to realize that just all last week, I've really struggled about coming today because I talked to Father Ryan and said, you know, I'd like to say kind of goodbye and talk to you guys a little bit and stuff. And then it was like, I hit this place where it was like, well, what am I going to say? You know, because I have my own struggles. I have my own fears. And, you know, in the first couple of weeks of going back to Africa for me is always just hard because you're having to break relationships and put things, you know, you're kind of having to stop stuff and start stuff. And I get really confused. And then, of course, the Satan's in there bothering you. And you just, you know, and I get like, and I was like in this really down place of going like, oh God, what do I have to offer? I'm like, I'm so messed up. What am I going to say to anybody else? Like, you know, like, don't get messed up like me. That's, you know, kind of thing. And so as I was coming here yesterday, I was just, you know, talking to the Lord and asking him to just open my heart to what to say and how to say goodbye and just all that kind of stuff. And then it's just like, you know, he began to speak to me, and then it's like, this is just nuts. This is just crazy. Like, you know, when God does this, you should be crazily nuts because, no, you know, other people don't get this.
That's right.
You know, they don't get that kind of affirming, loving word from his father, from your father, of how much he loves you, that he would go like, oh, you know, like, just hang in there. I'm going to, like, freak you out. And so I just want you to know I am so freaked out this morning by everything because, which is one of the most wonderful things to me about coming to your church is that it's like almost every single time I've come here, one of the songs so speaks to me about what I'm wanting to say, ultimately what I'm wanting to say in some way or another. And then even the word that was given out this morning, I'm going like, oh my, you know, come on, God. I got it. You really wanted me to be here, and you really want me to say what I'm going to say. And so, basically, I'm going to try to keep this as short as possible because I'm so like charged by this and so psyched by this that I could probably just talk all day. Because he's a wonderful God, you know, and he does these marvelous, wonderful things for us. Give you just a quick update. As I've been here, I've spent most all of my time with Bishop Chuck and Selma. He asked me to come down and try to be with him as much as possible because my role in Africa has changed a little bit now. Now I'm going to be much more of a direct representation, a representative for him with the bishops in Africa. And I'm going to be more involved in that part of our diocese with Bishop Chuck of you know, basically having to kind of reel those guys in every once in a while to back to the vision, back to what they're being told and stuff like that, which is just really not something that I would want to do. You know, me going to Africa is about me having fun. Okay, I'm not a missionary that has a big plan. You guys know that. I just go over there because I think I'm the luckiest guy in the world that over 60 years of age, I get to go to Africa and climb mountains and experience some wonderful adventures and experience God getting to be so real and so relevant in moments and stuff. And that has been my heart for the last, I don't know, Karen, how many years? You probably can put a year date, but it just seems like that's always been my heart, is God, I just want to see you, really see you happen. When I was very young, in my 20s, in Florida, the Lord got hold of my life during the days of the charismatic renewal thing that was going on in the days of the Jesus freaks and stuff like that, which was, if you wasn't involved in that time with the Lord, it was an incredible time where God was like so real to anybody, to everybody. And he was just doing these unbelievable miracles. Just was like, miracles seemed like an everyday, just like that was just a normal part of your day to see God work a miracle in an alcoholic or someone on drugs or someone in that was so broken and demon possessed because of drug abuse, alcohol abuse, seeing them set free. It was just, that was just a normal part of your days, it seemed like, for the first 2 or 3 years of my real Christian life. And then through the my own brokenness and stuff, all these things kind of changed. And then, you know, and now in my latter years of my Christian life, as I've really kind of come back and dedicated, Lord, my cry has been, Lord, I want to see it again. I just want to see it again, you know. And it's really crazy because I've always, because of my brokenness, I thought, Lord, I just want to see it. I'd be so happy to sit in a corner and just get to see it. To see people lay hand on the sick and then be healed. To see people command demons to come out of people and they be set free. I mean, set free. Amen. Instantly from whatever it is. To see people's mail get read and their lives, so that their lives become radically changed by God. To see God become so real that there's no denying the reality of Jesus Christ and that He is the Son of God and that He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You can't, you know, and I saw that. You know, I saw that reality like that. Where you could, people, not that every life got changed, but they couldn't, they walked away going, making a real decisions like, I know the reality, but I'm just not willing to get, I'm just not willing to give up my own selfishness. In my own self-centeredness. And that's all we can do as Christians at any time is to hope to bring the reality of God to each other or to the sinful world out there, to the place that there's a decision that gets made that's based on, there's no denying it. There's no like, oh, well, that was just an emotional moment or something like that. No, you know, like, you know, you had an open wound and we prayed for it and it was healed and it stopped bleeding and it was healed up, totally healed, and it's not, there's not a scar left, and this all happened in 30 minutes. You can't deny that. And so you have to make a decision. And so I've been my heart cry and my desire for so long is to see those things again. Well, I'm beginning to not only see those things in small measures, but I'm beginning to be a person that is involved in those things, which is just like so freaky for me. It's like, you know, God, how could you do this? How could you show such grace to a sinner like me to be able to pray for people and see you touch lives and radically change lives. And that was what the word was this morning. It's not an awesome word, because this is the word that our bishop is preaching. It's a word of revival, which is not the classical revival, set up a tent meeting and play the drums or all that kind of thing. It's about a radical reviving of our hearts to radically and unconditionally and crazily fall in love with Jesus and to walk with the desire, so having a heart's desire for Him that He has to be there because He loves us. And that's what part of what I'm, and I'm going to ramble, I can see that already. Part of what I want to say to you is that God is looking for people who will become more and more intentional. More and more intentional. Because if you're not intentional about God or anything, nothing happens. You know, you ladies, when you go in to cook, have you ever went in and you didn't have any idea what you was going to cook and you was just kind of not there, and so you just kind of threw stuff together and it tasted like crap? Okay? You know, because you wasn't intentional. You know, but when you go in and this is what you want to do. You want to cook this potato or whatever it is. You know, I'm not a cook, so. But you go with an intention to produce something, a dish or whatever. That intention carries you to that. That begins to happen. And that's what God calls for us to do. Our bishop has been preaching more and more in his word. That word keeps coming out about being intentional, about being intentional, about being intentional. And as I was coming up here, the Lord began to just, it was like I just read the whole New Testament again, or most of what I read the Gospels again, as I was driving in one of those ways when God begins to just speak to you. And what I began to realize is that the Gospels are basically a story of God being intentional. Okay? But it's also a story of people being intentional. It starts out with Anna and Simeon. Now, you don't get much more intentional than spending your life at the temple, looking for the Savior to come. They went every day with this sense of anticipation of that they would see the Savior. Because Simeon had been spoken to him by the Holy Spirit, that you're not going to die. And he's an old guy, and he's just trudging along with his stick, walking stick, getting up the steps. And you know, if you think about the temple, it wasn't a phone booth. It was a big place. It was all you read about. They go up these steps. They go through these gates. So it was a big deal for him to go. But he went every day with that anticipation in his heart that he would see the Savior. And then he saw the Savior. And we had that great, wonderful prayer. You know, my eyes have seen the Savior. And Anna, she's in the temple for all those years. She came praying in the temple all those years. And then she got to see the Savior. You know? And then you think about the woman, and she goes to Jesus, and she says, and I don't even remember what she's asking for. She is asking for something. And he says to her, "Woman, you do not give the children's bread to the dogs," because she wasn't Jewish. Oh my God, what a rebuking type of statement. How would you like to be, how would you accept that? How would you like to hear the Lord say, "I'm not going to give you the bread of the kingdom of God. You're a dog." But you know, she was intentional. She had come for a purpose, and she wasn't going to satisfy. She wasn't going to be satisfied with anything less. And so she and the wisdom of God the Father spoke to God the Son and said, "But even the dog eats the crumbs." And he gave her what she asked. About Zacchaeus, the little short tax guy that stole from everybody. He climbs a tree. And he hears like one of the greatest statements that could ever be made, if you think about it. How would you love for Jesus to look in your eyes and go, "Come down out of whatever sin you're in. Come down out of your stuff. Come down out of your bad marriages. Come down out of your sickness and your cancers. Come down, because I want to eat in your house today. God is going to come under your roof today." No. But he climbed a tree. You know, it was, he wanted to see. He so longed after God. And God met that longing. You know. And as you read through the Bible and through the New Testament, you see over and over again these examples of people that come. And they come with this need. And there is a need of, they're not going to be satisfied with just a casual encounter. They're not going to be satisfied with a casual, cavalier attitude towards it. They're not going to sit in the back of the church, and not meaning anything about people sitting in the back of the church. Because it's my favorite seat. But they're not, and it's okay to sit in the back of church as long as you have the intentional heart of that, of not being satisfied until God shows up in a spectacular way. Not just shows up, but in a spectacular way and reveals himself. You know, and there's like all through, just think of all the different stories in the gospel where people came. And of course, one of the great stories, of course, is the Old Testament story of Jacob. You know, when he wrestled with God, and God, you know, the angel or God or however you want to interpret that as theologically, is saying, "Let go of me, I got to get out of here, it's getting to be daylight." And he's going, "No, ain't no way. I'm not doing it. Not until you bless me." You know? He was committed, and he was intentional about what he was going to do. So many times, myself and you, but I'll just say myself, I confess this to you, that I come to church and I'm not very intentional. I'm not coming saying, "God, I have to have a visitation. I have to have an encounter." And so I come with that. That is my intent. My intent is not coming to church to serve the law of being in church, of not forsaking the assembly of the believers. My intent is not coming to fulfill a duty to read the New Testament or Old Testament lesson or to sing the music and sing the songs. That's not the reason but those are the reasons we come to church. And God is crying out for people that goes, no, I'll do all those things. But the reason I come is that I have to have a personal, radical visitation from you to radically change my life. I was really struggling because you've heard Bishop Chuck's stuff, if you read his stuff, if you've been around any time in the last few years, that he keeps preaching on this one subject from every direction, the great commandment of love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all that stuff. And so I've been like hammered with that now for like going on 4 months of hearing that day after day after day. And a few weeks ago, I was like, I don't even know what that means. I have no idea what that means. Do you? Do you really love the Lord your God with all your heart? Do you even know what that means? What does love even mean? I mean, how many million songs have been wrote about love and what love means and what love's got to do with it, and on and on and on. And it was really weird because I was listening to Fox News one morning and they had these old rock and roll guys. I don't know if any of you watch Fox News, but a few weeks ago they had all these old rock and roll guys from different bands doing these acoustic songs together. And that was doing the whole snow thing and being snowed in Selma, and I was sitting there. I was sitting at a friend's house down there. It's a beautiful place on the lake, and I was there by myself. And so I'm just doing my thing in the morning. And Fox News on, these guys come on, and I'm an old rock and roll lover. And they start singing the songs like "I Want to Know What Love Is" by Foreigner. And I was like, God, yes, that's where I'm at. So I want to know what love is, because I was realizing I really don't love the Lord, my God, with all my heart. I just have to confess that. I don't, because I don't even know what that looks like. What does that look like? I've been to Africa, and I've seen the poor. I've tried to feed the poor. I've tried to pray for the poor. I've done all these different things within the church and within my concept of Christianity. And it comes down to this. I really don't know what love is. And so I was like really in this place of depression and despair. I mean, come on, I'm a deacon in the church and I'm fixing to go to Africa in a few weeks, and all of a sudden I'm having this mental crisis and this emotional, come undone about that I don't really love the Lord. And that is the first thing. And so he began to minister to me that is like, that... it's not about whether I understand it or whether I have a theological grip to it. But what he does want and what he desires and what he honors so much is that I have a longing in my heart. And one Wednesday night a couple of weeks ago, well, it may have been last Wednesday night, Bishop Chuck was preaching or teaching, and he made this statement that like flipped my switch. And he said that God counts longing as love. Well, I can long, but sometimes I can't love. And that's the story of how I became doing what I do in Africa, is because Bishop Prakash talked to me about coming to Pakistan to do ministry over there years ago before 9/11, and I'd never had anything like that on my radar, and I was giving him all of my excuses was why I couldn't go and why it'd be better for someone else to go, because I have no skill sets. I'm not a doctor, not a lawyer, I'm not a businessman, I had all these knots, and I still got them, all those knots that are things that I'm not. But he just kind of got me set down, shut me up, and explained to me that for his people in Pakistan, for Christians in Pakistan, that a smile was life-changing. And I was like, oh, well, I can smile. I found something I could do. I'm not a great preacher. I'm not a great teacher. I'm not anything. I'm not even a lover of God anymore, because I'm still in that. What does that mean? But what I am is a longer, you know. And what I am is I can smile, you know. And so I can go to Africa, and I may not, I'll not in Africa, but I'll smile and I'll embrace and I'll love and I'll be with them and I'll encourage them. So it's not about the knots, it's about the longing. And my longing has taken me to Africa. My longing is to just be of some kind of a help. You know? And like, it's crazy when people ask me, well, what do you do in Africa? I don't do anything. You know? I don't have like a mission statement. Okay? I don't have a ministry, which is another thing that the Lord made me come to a realization ago that I had to quit having a ministry, that I just need to participate in His ministry and quit having my own ministry. And then it didn't make a difference if it failed or not, because I had no dog in that hunt. You know, I was just along for the ride. You know? And so this is the story of my life, is learning more and more that I bring nothing to the table. But the one thing that He desires is that I long after Him. You know, that there's this longing in my heart. And that's been in my heart. And I've never made those connections. I've never connected those dots of how precious that is to Him. And all. But if you go, and you know, one of the great books that Bishop Spence has spent his entire life on, I think, and my life, and it seems like sometimes, is the Song of Solomon. You know, Father Ryan, let me ask you this question. When you're around the bishop, and he goes, in the Song of Solomon, do you shudder sometimes? Like, oh my God, I'm not going to hear this again. Because he's taught out of it so long. But it's such a tremendously great book. And as I was looking at that in relationship today, I just saw over and long, you have these incredible statements in there. In the first great statement is one of a totally broken person that realizes the impossibility when she says, draw me and let me run with you or run after you, depending on your translations. And you see these kind of statements being made on and on, and it's always that statement of where that realization of I'm helpless without you in it. I can't do nothing. It's just all. So I'm got this to this place now that I can't even love God because I'm not sure what that means anymore. You know, what does that mean? You know, because it'd be easy for me to tell you, oh, well, this is what loving God means. You sell all you have, you give it to the poor, and you go to Africa or Brazil or New Guinea or, you know, somebody. Just get the heck out of Tuscaloosa and go lay your life down until you die of malaria or some other kind of disease. That's what loving God is. You know? That's ridiculous. That is so ridiculous. But isn't that what we've been told all of our lives? You know? Is that loving God is this. It depends on who the guy is that's and what he's wanting to get out of it or accomplish out of it, then that's what loving God is. That's the that's how you define love for God. Well, I just want to let you know something, because y'all guys aren't doing too good at it. Okay? And that's okay, because what God wants you to do is long after Him. You know, and then He will He will give you love in your heart then. And it'll flow out of a naturalness into the situation that you're in. You know, mine just happens to be going to Africa. You know, yours isn't. You know, yours is here. It may be somewhere else. God may be calling some of you for something different, to move to a different town, a different country. But it's not where you're at. It's where your longing is at. And then it's where does your long, will you, and the thing is that the intentional part now is once you've expressed the longing, will you respond to the drawing? When you cry out to Him, draw me. My God, please. And that's my cry. Have you ever cried that in your heart? Have you ever wanted that? Like, Lord, I'm so messed up. I'm so confused here. It's just my life totally stinks. My kids are all horrible. They're all going the wrong way. They don't go to church. My wife, oh my God, my wife, God. My husband, oh, he is such a creep. Lord God, please change this. Make this different. Do something. Draw me to yourself so that I can run after you. See, too much of our Christianity in America is, Lord, do this. You know, Lord, change my wife. You know, make her Mother Teresa. You know, if she could just be Mother Teresa, my marriage would be great. You know, and of course, your wife is going, Lord, change him. You know, make him Saint Francis. You know, he never plays with a dog. Make him Saint Francis, so he plays with a dog. Okay, and that's not what God's saying. That's not what God, and God doesn't really do those things like that very much. You know, he does some because he just loves us so much that he can't stand us when we're so miserable in our lives. But what he ultimately really wants us to do is just cry out longing for him, long, and realize that it's about me. It's not about others. It's not about stuff. It's about me. You know, as Lord, draw me, call to me, make my heart be changed so that the only thing that matters in my life is you. That's what matters, is you. You, not the church, not the stuff, okay? Now, I'm all about the church. I'm a deacon in the church, and I love the church. I love the liturgy. I love the Eucharist. I love everything. But that's not what it's about. It's about him. You know, all that is stuff that's the parts of him. But it's about him. Just like in your marriages, this is not about your wife or your husband or your children or whatever. It's not about your jobs. It's got to be about him. All of that is part of life. But if it's about him, all that other kind of gets taken care of in a miraculous, supernatural way that you go like, wow, that got taken care of. You know? And that's what God is so longing for. In my life in particular, is to long after him. Think about it this way. If you could ever long just one smidgen bit, 1% of longing of what God longs for you, how radically would that change your life? Because that's how much, even no matter how deep your longing is, no matter how much you despair for God to radically do something, to show up in a miraculous way in your life, and do something and set you free or make sense out of it all or whatever the cases are to speak into your life. No matter how longing you are for that, God's longing for you is so much greater. That is nothing compared to his longing after you to just love him and long after him even more and more. And then he will draw you to all the stuff you want to do and everything. And that, and I'm convinced that it's the longing in our hearts to love him more radically and more crazily with a radical sold out love. And as we embrace that and as we run after that, as he draws us and we begin to run after that, then we're going to begin to see more and more the manifestations of his presence in a supernatural, miraculous ways. That's when he shows up. We all want to see those things. We all want to see God, the reality of God becomes so real that people have to go, that's real. And they either bow to God or they don't. Because that's the deal. You know, it tells us that even the demons know that he's Lord. They just don't bow the knee at this time, that they will. It says that every knee shall bow. And that's salvation, is that when the reality of God becomes so real, it's undeniable to us, and we either accept him or we deny him, you know? But that's his, he's just, so I guess what I'm trying to say is that if you're in this place where you're just messed up, you know, just cry out for longingly for him, like just, Lord, I don't want to be, you know, I just long to just be set free. I just long to love you. I just long to see you. I just long to experience you. I just long to see my city change. It's a longing. And in that longing, his love gets manifested in some crazy, radical way. This is the song, okay? And it's the bridge. I guess maybe that should be the title of my sermon. It's the sermon today is the bridge. It was a bridge to the song, Beautiful One. Think about this. If you will just cut this out and begin to pray this, your lives will be radically changed. Okay? Just begin to pray, Lord, open my eyes to your wonders anew. Capture my heart with this love. Because nothing on earth is as beautiful as you. Okay? Change those words. Lord, open my eyes. Open my eyes. I long to have my eyes opened to see you, your wonders anew. Lord, capture my heart. Capture my heart with this love. Whatever this love, however this love manifests to us, whether it's to go to Africa or go to downtown Tuscaloosa, to go on the campuses or go to your jobs, wherever that love draws us to, but capture my heart. So with that love, so with your love, that I have to pursue after you to have that love fulfilled in my heart. Because there's nothing on earth, because my eyes have been opened, and there's nothing on earth that's as beautiful as you. One of the great statements that got made to me and Karen last year when we went to South Sudan, was at a border crossing kind of thing. Well, it wasn't really a border crossing, it was already in South Sudan, but they had a rope up, which always means God only knows what that means. You know, like you may be fixing to pay a bribe, or you may be, you know, maybe fixing to be totally robbed. You just don't know. In places like that, whenever you're blocked, it's not a good thing. Is your first concern and thought. And so we're sitting there, and I'm not sure how much Karen was freaking out, but I had my concerns, you know, about it. And the guy asked us a question. He asked us what we was coming to South Sudan for, and I think we just told him that we just came to pursue God or see God or something like that. Just we made just kind of a, you know, kind of a goofy statement because we didn't want to be, you know, have to pay a bribe or be held up or whatever the case would be. And it was just, you know, and he just looked in at us and he goes, "Ah, oh, you've come to South Sudan to see God, and you will see God." And we did, in a miraculous way. So that's what that's my message to you guys is just cry out if you can cry out for nothing else. If your life is so messed up and so confused, and let me tell you, if it's not today, it will be tomorrow. Okay? It's just life. That's the way it works. That you'll hit these places with the Lord because He's trying to get to this stuff where you can put the stuff to the side and you just get to the back to what He wants, which is your love. See, God doesn't want me to go to Africa. That's not His ultimate desire for me. God doesn't want me to be a deacon in the Charismatic Episcopal Church. That's not his heart's desire. You know, His heart's desire is for me to just love Him and to long after Him. And all that other stuff is just kind of a part of it. You know? And your life is different. All your lives are different, but it's the same. You know, we all have the same identical calling to love the Lord our God. But, you know, sometimes I think we have to realize that we're not very good at this love business. Because we don't know what does that look like. But what you can do, guys, is that you can long. You know? Because there's no one more desperate. There's no one that has more knots in their lives that they cannot not do that, not do this, and not do that. You know, I confess, I don't know how to love the Lord my God with all my heart. But what I do know how it is, I know how to cry out to Him every day and long after Him. But then the deal is the intentional part. You know, you cannot be casual in this longing. You know, you just cannot. There's nothing you ever get in life by being really casual about it. You didn't get your wife or your husband by being casual about that relationship. You know, going, "Oh, it'll happen. You know, it'll happen. You know, I'm going to go on to work. I'm not going to bother with her, you know, or him." You know, there's a pursuit in all of that. There's a pursuit of everything in life. You didn't learn the skills that you've learned in your different trades and your different jobs by just not paying any attention and putting any kind of effort into it. You know? And you know, see, this is the crazy thing, guys. It's like some of you guys have like kajillion years of college. Like I think Billy's going to have like a million years of college education. You know? Which I admire because I'm not able to do that. That's a knot. That's a definite knot. But some of y'all have these tremendous amounts of time that's been poured into different things, education, your skill sets, to learn all this different stuff. Have you ever spent a tenth of that time pursuing God? You know? I mean, if you just give Him 10%, Yeah, that's the tithe. If you just give 10% to pursue Him in prayer, you know, just asking. It's just that simple. And that, and now the mirror's here, because this is my message to me. It's like, I've got to become more intentional in my prayer time, my prayer life, because I've been way too casual with it, because I've been busy. You know, well, there's nobody that's ever been busier than God, and Jesus is God, and He showed us such a rare, how to do this, which was go to the mountain, get alone, pray. And it's what Bishop Chuck is saying over and over now. It's all about the secret place, that place of prayer, whatever that looks like for each one of us, where you go intentionally because you long so much for Him. You don't, you know, and here's the deal, guys. You don't go because you have His presence. You don't go because He's manifesting in your life in miraculous ways. You go because you long. And that's all you got, and that's the best thing. But most of us think like we kind of put our prayer life to the side because we get busy doing stuff, sometimes for God, and so we're doing our Bible studies, we're helping the sick and the poor or whatever. And then we're like when all that is like really cool, and I'm really set to pray, because really what we're wanting to do is go in and go, oh God, I'm so cool. You know, look what I've done. I'm not so cool. I'm so cool, God. You know, I've got my act so together, God, you know. And that, I'm telling you, it's that's okay, but it's not going to work too well, because He's going to uncool you.
Yes.
You know, He's going to uncool you. You know, and He's going to get you to become desperate. You know, and it's whatever area that is in your life, He's just going to get in. If you ever tell Him you want to follow Him, you want to love Him, He's going to go, oh, okay, we're going to dig around in this now. We're going to dig around in your stuff until it kits up and it's put out there and given to Him, and because that's what causes us to just long after Him and go, God, I'm so helpless, I'm so messed up, I'm just so confused, I don't know anymore, I don't have a clue how this works, like, you know. And so that was yesterday, that's what I was praying about today. I was like, Lord, I'm so messed up, I really don't know what to say to nobody anymore. Like, what have I got to say? I don't have much to say. You know, because I don't know. I mean, what am I going to tell you? I'm going to come up here and say, look, you just need to love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your power and all your strength. Yeah, 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 you know. And I don't even know what that looks like. You know? So how can I tell you that? You know? And that was where I was at. It was just, I was at that impasse. And He said, "What? You can't, so don't. But you can tell them how much to long and to be intentional. Because that's what I'm telling you now." Just a little testimony about intentionality, and this I've spoke way too long already. Was it last week? Being in Selma has like been the most awesome time for me, because it's created this sense of anticipation daily, because they have a noonday Eucharist every day that God does miraculous things at all the time. And one of the most miraculous things that He actually ministers through me sometimes. But I was at the noonday Eucharist, and the bishop had a word of knowledge about hands and wrist and stuff for healing that day. And I had just hurt my right wrist to the place that I couldn't hardly hold anything in it. If I turned it a particular way, whatever was in my hand was going to basically drop out of my hand. Real pain. And so I'd been, and there were some things that I was needing to do that required my right wrist to do those things. So I was when the bishop said that, I'm going, I'm getting prayed for. This is for real. Even though I'm serving with Him at the table and serving the Eucharist, you know, it's like I got to a certain place and I threw everything down. I said, y'all guys, I got it. I'm getting prayed for. You know, so I got prayed for, and the bishop prayed for me. Which is really unusual. Usually, Lord doesn't let the bishop pray for me. He has someone else pray for me, so that I don't get hung up into only the bishop's prayers work. So he prayed for me, and so that was real unusual at first. And then as he's praying for me, I felt the bones in my wrist got like going like this. It was like moving in and out kind of thing. I was like, that doesn't work. How does that work? Wrist bones don't do that. They go back and forth. They don't go in and out. And so my wrist got to feeling a whole lot better, you know. And I was like, oh, wow, man, I'm healed. God's healing me with my wrist and all that kind of stuff. And then about 2 hours later, it was hurting me even worse. And, you know, and I was like going through this thing all day. I'm going like, well, what is this kind of deal going on here, God? You know, like, I thought you did it. You didn't do it. Well, you know, yeah, yeah, yeah. And I'm just freaking out in my head. And then the next morning, the lady I'm staying with, Lynn Talier, was talking, and she had some issues that she was needing to be prayed for. And she's like me, she'll kind of tend to put stuff off, not get prayer, you know. Going, well, if God can heal me, he doesn't have someone have to pray for me, you know, and all that kind of stuff that we all do, I think. And so I was talking to her about her need for prayer, and I told her, I said, you know, my wrist is still bothering me. I said, I'm going to tell you one thing today. Bishop Chuck is not leaving the church till he prays for my wrist again. That's all there is to it. Because I'm tired of this. This, you know, because it was better. So now why is it worse? You know, kind of thing. So I went to church, and we was at the ministry time that they have. We was just standing there, and I was standing like this, waiting for the Lord to speak to me, maybe to give someone a word or stuff. And I felt my wrist and heard my wrist pop. And it was healed. And I'm like going, oh, this is cool. So I got my hands behind my back, and I'm doing like this now. Is it really healed? Does not I hurt anymore? And I'm twisting it every way I can. And so it didn't. And I'm got all this in my head. I'm going, Lord, why is all this? How does this work? What's this all about? And he just spoke to me, and he said, you was intentional. And that's what I want you to learn, is quit being so like goofy. And whatever you're doing, do it with intent of some kind. So you came today with, you was not leaving this church until you got prayed for. You was going to contend for that healing. And, you know, so, you know, I got what I needed out of you. And when that lined up, then, you know, he was able to accomplish what I wanted. So be intentional about the things of God. Okay? Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.